This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Father has a business, strictly secondhand. Everything from toothpicks to a baby grand. Stuff in our apartment came from Father's store. Even clothes I'm wearing, someone wore before. It's no wonder that I feel abused. I never get a thing that ain't been used. I'm wearing second-hand hats, second-hand clothes. That's why they call me second-hand Rose. Even our piano in the parlor, Daddy bought for 10 cents on the dollar.
Hey, a little Barbara Streisand to start out things. Second-hand Rose. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to the Freedom Work Show. I am Paul Malloy, and along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on this Monday morning. Hey, the last day of the month. Wow, September 30th already. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking with John Malcolm of the Heritage Foundation about the impeachment effort by Congress against President Trump and how it could destabilize our government. I think you're going to find it very interesting. Stay tuned for that. And Rudy Giuliani making more TV appearances, it seems, than the president these days, to the point that White House candidate Joe Biden wants the media to stop giving him a platform. Don't let him come on the show. We're going to talk about that. And would you believe that half of California's voters have considered leaving the state? Could you imagine what would happen? If that did happen, we're going to talk about that as well. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, the top 10 countries with the most powerful nuclear weapons. You're going to be surprised, I think, when you hear some of these countries. So stay tuned. Freedom Works, by the way, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we're here, 10 to 11 a.m. Thank you for joining us. You can go to our website anytime and listen at your leisure to any of our recent programs, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Hit the podcast button. Thanks to Big Ed, we've got all our shows on there. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, we got a lot to do today. And, you know, all of this, as bad as this whole impeachment environment is, it sure makes this show, it's sure easy to collect information to talk about, because everybody wants to talk about this whole effort, whether you're on one side or another. And when we talk with John Malcolm from the Heritage Foundation, we're going to get into some of the, I guess, the nuts and bolts of the impeachment process, as well as what it could do. You know, if you throw it around like a dish rag, the idea of impeachment, think about it. The next time that the Democrats are in the White House, how easy it might be to pull the same little trick. So stay tuned for that interview coming up in just a few minutes. In the meantime, former Vice President Joe Biden's campaign team is putting pressure on the major media outlets to stop giving Rudy Giuliani airtime. According to a report published yesterday in the New York Times, a note authored by the former vice president, I should say his advisors, alleged that allowing Giuliani to discuss the situation with Ukraine was simply giving him a platform from which to spread, quote, false, debunked conspiracy theories, unquote. Here's part of that letter that they sent out. Now, can you imagine the people at Fox and MSNBC? You know, Giuliani's actually been popping up on more than Fox, too. I've seen him on some of the other outlets. Of course, he takes the heat when he gets on the other outlets because they don't like Trump, whereas Fox at least seems to give Trump you know, a little bit of space, right?
It seems it was okay after the election was over and somebody in a pantsuit was, you know, making the rounds on every circuit there was.
She still is.
Yeah.
She still is. Here's part of what they're saying in their little note to the media. We are writing with grave concern that you continue to book Rudy Giuliani on your air to spread false, debunked conspiracy theories on behalf of Donald Trump. While you often fact-check his statements in real time during your discussion, that is no longer enough. By giving him your airtime, you're allowing him to introduce increasingly unhinged, unfounded, and desperate lies into the national conversation. So there you go. Please, please, please don't put Rudy on. Keep Rudy off. We don't want Rudy. No more Rudy. In the meantime, Giuliani is defending what he's doing. He defended his investigation of the Democrats, including Biden, and pointed a finger at the Obama administration and its potential involvement in corruption. He said, "My role is very, very simple. I'm a lawyer defending a client." He was on yesterday morning on that Maria Bartiromo show on Fox, that Sunday morning's Futures show. He said that he was exploring a lead on information that he claimed not only could vindicate Trump regarding the claims that he colluded with Russia in the election, but that it could show that it was Democrats who colluded with Ukraine to hurt Trump's campaign. He said, if you can prove that somebody else did it, or there's some other explanation for it, then you pursue that vigorously. Now, during that phone call to Ukraine, Trump made reference to the cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike, which had investigated the hacking of the DNC, the Democratic National Committee's computers, during the presidential campaign. But he did not turn over the server to the but they did not turn the server over to the FBI to check it out. And Trump indicated that that server could presently be in Ukraine. I wonder why it would be there, by the way. Giuliani also defended his role in exploring allegations that Joe Biden pressured Ukraine into firing their top prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, by threatening to withhold $1 billion owed to Ukraine. We got him on tape saying that. You know, you got Biden on tape saying, if you don't fire the prosecutor investigating my son's company, you're not getting $1 billion. That is a perfect, and he was vice president. What? And they're investigating Trump for looking into that? What is going on in the, you know, it's almost like a bad dream. In some ways, this whole, every day you get up, what did Donald Trump do today? You know, that's going to be the thing in the media. In the meantime, people like Hillary Clinton are smashing their phones to bits with all the information that they have, putting email servers in their basement, I guess, and taking confidential information, and everybody go, oh, that's all right. In the meantime, how much of our uranium did we sell to Russia? Oh, that's okay. What's wrong with this picture?
I'm telling you that I believe that every morning President Trump walks in his office, gets his coffee, turns around, looks at his advisor, and says, okay, what am I accused of today?
And you know what? They probably have an answer for him.
It's probably like, oh, that's a good one.
Yeah,
that is
a good one. Yeah. Well, here's the accusation today, Mr. President. You're drinking caffeinated coffee, not decaf. There's a big story on it. This is why you're so energetic and rambunctious all the time. You know? Okay, let's take a break and let's get into some of the nuances of the whole impeachment process with John Malcolm from the Heritage Foundation. We'll be right back.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on Freedom Works on a Monday morning. We thank you so very much for joining us, and we're delighted to have John Malcolm of the Heritage Foundation joining us. He is Vice President for the Institute for Constitutional Government, Director of the Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies there. And John, you've been a busy guy. I think I saw you over the weekend on C-SPAN taking some questions about the impeachment process. Welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's our pleasure. I have so many questions to ask you. First of all, the concept of the impeachment process, going back to what it says, what's laid out in the Constitution, which I think you talk about in your information on the impeachment effort being a historic battle. It's on the Heritage Foundation website, but I guess it's Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution about the whole impeachment process?
Yeah, well, I mean, there are a couple of different provisions, one describing the House's role, one describing the Senate's role, and then one describing what is an impeachable offense. So just basically to break it down, presidents, vice presidents, and it's other civil officers, and that includes usually judges, can be impeached for treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. The treason and bribery are fairly obvious. Other high crimes and misdemeanors are not defined anywhere in the Constitution. It says that the House of Representatives has the exclusive power to bring impeachment charges, and they do, and it only takes a majority of the House members to return an article of impeachment. And then there is a trial in the Senate where it takes two-thirds of senators, so 67 senators, to actually convict somebody and remove them from office. It's not the same thing as a criminal conviction, although somebody who's removed from office may be criminally charged mm-hmm. later. And the other thing that's very interesting and significant is there is virtually no role for the judiciary in any of this process at all. The only exception, and it's a minor one, is that the Constitution says that if there is a trial in the Senate because a president hasn't been impeached, that the Chief Justice of the United States presides over that trial. So William Rehnquist presided, for instance, over the Bill Clinton
right.
impeachment, although he said very little.
I remember that. It was really a historic moment. You know, we've actually only had two impeachments, although if you would listen to the media recently, some of them are saying that Richard Nixon was impeached. He was never impeached. He resigned. They never held an impeachment vote. But we had Andrew Johnson, and we had Bill Clinton. And Andrew Johnson's, by the way, there's a movie about Andrew Johnson, a very good movie. I think it was made in the 40s, where they go through the whole process of the impeachment in the movie. I think they did a rather good job. But did he not just escape being convicted by like one vote?
Yeah, so let's be clear. Actually, over the, you're correct that two presidents have been impeached. Over our nation's history, there have been a total of 19 people who have been impeached. Two then resigned before trial. There were 17 trials, and eight have been convicted. All eight were federal judges, usually for taking, you know, bribes on the bench. There was actually one a judge who was thrown off the bench because he supported the Confederacy. And the very first impeachment was of a judge who was apparently an inveterate alcoholic and so was for being drunk on the bench all the time. But,
really?
You know, those are the only people who have been thrown off. So Andrew Johnson survived a Senate convicting him by one vote. Bill Clinton had plenty of room to spare when he was when he had his trial. And, yeah, Richard Nixon, the House of Representatives Judiciary Committee had approved articles of impeachment and had sent it to the full House.
Mm-hmm.
The president received a visit from some significant senators who said, look, you are about to be impeached, and the votes are there to throw you out of office, and he chose instead to resign.
Exactly.
So he was never formally impeached.
And they did not take a vote in the House on Nixon, correct? They just
That's right.
They
voted out of the House Judiciary
yes.
Committee and sent those articles to the full House. But he resigned, and there was never a vote in the full House.
Now, in your in the article, you go on to say that that this whole concept of impeachment could imperil the stability of our constitutional structure. Could you expand on that a little bit, John?
Yeah, it's actually my colleague who
your colleague
who wrote that article.
Yes, I said
so,
you.
Look, it's a you know it is a major high stakes poker game. You know, we don't have the impeachment process because we don't like a president's personality or because we don't like his policies. For that, we have elections. You know, other countries have no confidence vote. If you don't like the president or the prime minister, you have a no confidence vote. And if there's a you know, that vote is favorable, then you throw the person out of office just because you don't like the direction in which he or she is taking the country. But we don't have that. This is really meant as a backstop to say 4 years, if you have somebody who is either a crook or grossly abusing his office, 4 years is a very long time to wait. And so this is a mechanism for removing, before the next election, somebody immediately. It's rather radical. As we just said, only two presidents have, in fact, been impeached, and both of them survived. And so this is a real constitutional challenge. And, you know, the Democrats have boarded the impeachment train and started down the track. And we'll see what happens. When the Republicans did this to Bill Clinton, you know, the public made it quite clear that even though they believed he might well have lied during a deposition in the Paula Jones case about his private affair with Monica Lewinsky, they did not think that this was sufficiently serious to put the country through this, and they made the Republicans pay at the ballot box the next during the next election.
Right. Right, right. We're talking with John Malcolm of the Heritage Foundation. He knows a thing or two about the impeachment process. He's the vice president for the Institute for Constitutional Government and director of the Mies Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. So I'm looking at this whole concept of whether or not they're going to actually take the vote. John, a couple of months ago, I would have said they're never going to take a vote on this. They're never going to take a vote on the impeachment but now I'm not so sure. It sounds more and more like the Democrats are bound and determined to hold an impeachment vote. Your thought on that?
Yeah, it certainly does seem that way. So the big change was that Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, was not behind an impeachment effort when they were talking about the Mueller report or the Emoluments Clause or all other things. This seems different to her. I am sure that she is doing polling and quite calculating and has said, okay, you know, I'll ante in at the poker table. And I, you know, I don't know what the result is going to be. I certainly think they have not taken a formal vote yet to have an impeachment inquiry, probably because she doesn't want her members on record yet. But all of the committees, particularly the Judiciary Committee and Intelligence Committees, are gathering information. They're already noticing depositions, and they've issued a ton of subpoenas. And I think if they think that the votes are there, even though it is very unlikely that they're going to get 67 votes in the Senate to remove him from office, I think they may very well impeach him.
Yeah, in fact, just going to the Senate for a moment, there are, 53 Republicans in the Senate?
Yes.
Okay, and that leaves about 46 Democrats, and then we have our friend Bernie. So
right.
That's an independent. But so they're not going to be two-thirds of the Senate are never going to vote to convict Donald Trump. Everybody knows that. So, I mean, even if they did, the Democrats would then welcome Mike Pence into the White House, who may be even more conservative and further away from some of their thinking than Donald Trump. I mean, I don't know what's going into the thinking. Plus, the stain of the impeachment process, just like you said, what happened to the Republicans when the impeachment went through on Clinton? You know, the same thing here. In reverse. I mean, I don't know why. Why are they doing this? I don't see why.
You know, so I'll read the same tea leaves you can read. I think that one may think that the president really has abused office and that they've got something there. Two, their base. I mean, they've wanted to impeach the president practically since the day he took the oath of office. But now the temperature is rising considerably, and they are watching to see, you know, what their elected legislators are doing. I mean, they may, the Democratic base may be demoralized if they don't do anything about this. So they're concerned about that. And they may think that there are some Democrats running in red-leaning states, either for the Senate or Congress, who might take it on the chin as a result of
right.
this. But I'm sure, you know, look, the flip side is also true. I'm sure Susan Collins and Martha McSally and maybe Cory Gardner, you know, running in states that are
those are moderate
purple,
Republicans,
blue.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, that they're probably a little bit worried, and they're thinking, okay, you know, they want to get those guys on record supporting the president, and maybe they'll pick up 3 Senate seats. So it's all a big game, and everybody's there on recess for 2 weeks and having their town meetings and passing out their talking points, and they're all sort of gambling that at the end of the day this will be a political winner for them.
We're talking with John Malcolm of the Heritage Foundation. So let's get to the latest entree that they are using against Trump, which is this
right.
phone call with the Ukraine.
Right.
And I'm guessing that they're going to say, well, this falls under the impeachment possibility because of bribery, because he's talking about checking into Joe Biden's son and what Biden was going to withhold in terms of money to Ukraine if they didn't, fire that prosecutor. So Trump's looking into that, but he's not necessarily dangling money. I mean, I guess this is the question.
No, I don't think it's bribery that they're that
they wouldn't use
at.
The bribery? Okay.
Well, yeah, bribery is his taking a bribe. What they would say is that this is a gross abuse of office for personal gain and not in the best interest
okay.
of the country, and therefore falls within the definition of high crimes and misdemeanors. And again, it's up to the House and Senate to define what high crimes and misdemeanors are, because
yeah.
the judiciary has said that this is non-reviewable. So if they decide that a gross abuse of office for personal gain constitutes a high crime and misdemeanor, that's the road they'll embark.
Okay. But in other words, Trump couldn't try to bribe somebody else and then be impeached. The bribery, it's if he's taking the money. Is that what you're saying on that particular?
Well, I mean, you know, bribery is usually either
direct.
I mean, we bribe other governments all the time in terms
we
of
do.
Giving them aid.
Yes,
so, no,
exactly.
I think the bribery is meant to say, you know, I'm taking some money
under
for
the
my
table.
Personal office. Right.
Gotcha.
That's what bribery would be, and treason is treason. But
yeah.
then there's that more nebulous category of high crimes and misdemeanors, which is generally accepted to include gross abuse of office for personal gain,
yeah.
doing something not in the nation's best interest.
And finally, John, can I put you on the spot?
Okay.
And ask you whether or not you think the House of Representatives will indeed take a vote on impeachment, yes or no?
Yeah, I think they will. They haven't locked down. They're far from it, I think. The quid pro quo aspect that they are alleging, which is, you know, the president saying, if you want this $391 million in aid, you will give us dirt on Joe and Hunter Biden, and if you don't, that money disappears. If they make that connection, they will certainly impeach him. But even without it, I think that they're saying there's enough there that they suspect that that's what was going on, and I think they will take a vote.
And you think? Do you think the House will have a majority to impeach?
Yeah, I do.
You do, huh?
Every Democrat, huh? Yeah, I think, you know, and Justin Amash, you know, I have no crystal ball. This could all blow up in their face. They're all taking the temperature now, and they're going to study the polls. But if they think that this thing is a winner and that their base wants them to do it, I think they very well might impeach him. I don't think they're going to convict him, but I think they may well impeach him.
Wow. Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Holy cow. Okay, John. Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. Look forward to having you on again soon.
Sounds great. It was my pleasure.
All right. John Malcolm. Very interesting. Wow. And he does think they're going to impeach. Holy Toledo. What is going on in this country? It's almost like a nightmare to me.
You know, when I just laugh every time somebody brings that up about Bill Clinton and his little affair or his little...
Well, he lied under oath.
The conversation I had with this young lady that never materialized any further, she told me, well, that's not an impeachable offense.
He lied under oath while being deposed in the Paula Jones trial. He lied under oath.
Meanwhile,
does anybody remember why Paula Jones was suing him? People, you know, they don't want to talk about it. I can tell you why. Because he went up to her room. She was working for the Democratic Party in Arkansas. He went up to her room, had a bodyguard, his own bodyguard, keep lookout while he went into the room and sexually harassed her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess you can go ahead and sexually assault somebody. That's okay. Well, if you're a Democrat, hey, that's okay.
In the one side of her mouth coming out, she was talking about Trump's treatment towards women, and that's when I brought up, you know, Bubba. And she said, well, that's not an impeachable offense.
That's it's unbelievable how people shut down their brain.
Yeah.
You know?
What's left
If it's the person they like, they give the slack is forever. It's crazy. Okay, let us take our break. When we come back, why are half of California's voters saying they thought about leaving the Golden State? Wow.
And it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie Heath, baby. And it keeps it out of sight.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
Hi there, I'm Dr. John.
And I'm Dr. Lisa.
You have medical questions you never get to ask?
Now you can ask us.
After many years of caring for children and families, we've learned that the best informed families are also the healthiest.
Are you saying knowledge is power, Dr. John?
I am, Dr. Lisa, and since you're the smart one, I hope you'll share some knowledge with me and our listeners.
Let's do this then.
Okay, we hope you'll join us every Monday at noon right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network for the Drs. John and Lisa Show.
Listen online at tantalk1340.com.
Hello out there. Tune in every Saturday at noon on Tan Talk for Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. Every Saturday at noon, we will find resources, education, and a shoulder for the caregivers. I know it's tough, but we can work it out together. Look forward to you tuning in on Saturdays at noon, where you'll have tons of information. Linda Burhan's the gal who cares for the caregiver.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on the last day of September. Can you believe it? We got the baseball season's ended now, and we're into the swing with the NFL. We're going to talk a little later with Big Ed about our beloved Rays who made the playoffs, and so we'll talk a little bit on that later. In the meantime, delighted to have Angelo Ceresi join us. Angelo, it's been a long time, my friend. He is the brother of our wonderful sponsor, Andrew's Master Barbershop. He's up in New York, where he gets a taste of what people are thinking about politically there. How are you, my friend?
Pretty good, Paul. How have you been? It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been over a year. But we're doing very, very well here. And my goodness, you make no bones about your feelings on Donald Trump. You're much like Angelo, your brother. I mean, Andrew, your brother. But what do you think about what's going on recently with the Democrats and this impeachment push? I mean, is that registering with people there in New York State?
Upstate New York has always been Republican, and I think the people in New York, well, they're really fed up with it. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, I mean, as far as like New York City, I don't know. You know,
New York City is heavily liberal, heavily Democratic, and you got with that mayor who, by the way, just dropped out recently from running for president. Nobody even noticed, I don't think. Go ahead.
Comrade de Blasio?
Yes. Bill de Blasio. The guy that was there, you know, he's always at the end there in the debates, at the end there screaming and yelling. He was imposing. He's about 6'4", isn't he? Tall guy.
He's pretty tall, but, you know, when it comes to character, not good.
All right. So, and we were just talking with this gentleman from the Heartland Institute, John Malcolm, who was talking about his feeling is that they are going to go ahead and impeach Donald Trump, which just means they're going to indict him.
Right. I'm pretty sure that's what their plan is. They've been talking about that from day one.
Do you think they are going to actually go ahead with the impeachment vote?
Yeah, I think they should go with the impeachment vote, because this way it shows what these people are really trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Is a coup. They're trying to get rid of a sitting president, because that's the only way they can beat him. They can't do anything else.
Now, your congressman there in the House is a Republican, right, from your district, I'm assuming.
From our area, we got Collins. He's Republican, yeah.
Yeah, right. So
our congressman over here is a Democrat, Joe Morelli. He took over for Louise Slaughter, who passed away.
Okay.
He won the election last November and everything, so he's a Democrat. And we got Collins out here, and I was hoping that the fellow that the president just awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor, I hope he runs, you know.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Running that. Now, is that the district next to yours?
Yes. That's in the Batavia area. It touches part of Rochester a little bit.
So you're in the Rochester, New York arena. And
28th Legislative District.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. So with all of these things going on, and then you hear about Joe Biden and his threat, and then Trump wants to look into it, but they don't care about Joe Biden as vice president threatening Ukraine to withhold money on tape. But
they don't
want to talk about that, but they want to talk about Trump wanting that investigated. Now, how strange does that seem to be? It really seems bizarre to me.
Well, I just hope that the American people see through this, see what they're trying to actually do. I mean, it's all bogus, every bit of it.
Yeah, it seems to be.
I mean, if I can see it and other people can see it, I mean, I'm just hoping that the American people really see it. They've been trying to do this, like I say, from day one. That was They couldn't find anything with Mueller report. I mean, everything is, even the Mueller report was bogus.
Yeah.
That whole investigation, that was bogus. And you knew that in 2018 when the Democrats took control of the House, you knew exactly what they were going to do.
We're talking with Andrew Ceraci, who is the brother of Andrew Ceraci, who is the one of our sponsors here on Freedom Works. And Angelo, do you have any colleagues or acquaintances or relatives or anybody that you talk with on a regular basis that's a Democrat? The reason I ask is, do they also see this craziness, or are they kind of locked in that Trump's a bad guy and we got to get rid of
him? Oh, I got friends that are Democrats that are solely with this impeachment thing.
They're into it? They want
they're
it?
They're into it. I mean,
wow.
These people are Democrats, and for the life of me, I cannot believe that they think like this. I mean, I've been on Facebook where, you know, I've got friends that are Democrats, and, you know, I'll say, geez, do you stand by your president? Yes, I do. I always have, and I always will. You know, even when I have been all my life, you know, and I'm going to be 70 years old, you know? And the thing is that I've been in politics a little bit, you know,
mm-hmm.
where, like, I'm a committeeman with the Republicans. But I'll tell you what, I've had friends that were Democrats, and we always got along good. Not now. They have divided this country. Your drive-by media and the Democrats have divided this country so bad, they've turned friends against friends.
Yeah.
I've never, ever seen this.
Do you think, Angelo, that it's partly Trump's personality and people just, they see the guy and they go, God, you know, I can't stand the way he bloviates and all this, and then they just kind of forget about what he's trying to do for the country and focus on his personality?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, he's very unconventional. He's not your typical groomed Republican. And also, he's not part of the establishment. These people, in both Republicans and Democrats, you know, I was listening to Mr. Schweitzer last night on Levin's program.
Oh, you're talking about Mark Levin's program on Fox News?
Yes. This was last night, I think it was.
Okay, yes.
And he wrote a book about the way it has been in Washington, where you've got people that they take care of one another, Republican or Democrats. They go in, they make a ton of money, just like Biden's son has done, what, a billion and a half? Come on. And then he gets on this other board making $50,000 a month with no expertise.
But you don't understand his expertise, Angelo. He knows a lot about Ukrainian electricity. What's wrong with you?
Well, yeah, he puts a plug in. I forgot. He puts in a plug to plug in the coffee. Ah, you're right.
That qualifies for him to be on the board of the Ukrainian utility company.
Right, but they can't stand Trump. Maybe it's a little bit about his personality, but you know what? The big thing is, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but he's exposing them for what they really are. These people, the reason they're trying to get rid of him is they don't want to lose what they've got. You know,
mm-hmm.
they've got this thing in Washington where they both take care of each other. They're crooks.
So
we need a house cleaning. Every congressman and senator should be voted out and start all over again.
Republican and Democrat?
Yeah, because you got rhinos in there that are not Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, they'll side with the Democrats like Mitt Romney. Here's a guy that was born with a silver spoon. His father was, what, chairman of General Motors at one time?
Yeah, he grew up wealthy, no question, yep.
He grew up wealthy. Then he goes on TV during a debate and wants to bet, I think, the governor of Texas at the time, or former governor of Texas, that he was going to bet him $10,000, you know, on TV. Now, here's a guy that you couldn't even connect with the common person. You know, okay, Donald Trump, President Trump, actually connects with the people. For, you know,
yeah.
He connected with the
I think you're right. I mean, I think
you know? He connected
he's
with
not
the
afraid
people.
To say what he feels, and
right.
a lot of people are nodding their head. I think you're absolutely right. Angel,
you know,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
they don't. You got the nutty senator from Hawaii, Mazie Hirono.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another nutcase. She's gone on. I saw her talking the other night on TV, saying that the Democrats don't connect with the people because they're a lot smarter than we deplorables are. Can you imagine that? And these people, I don't know how these people can get voted into office talking like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats are smarter, so they don't connect with us people.
Well, I don't think they'd really want to take a smart test in the long run and, you know, line up Democrats and Republicans. I don't think they'd really want to do that.
But Donald Trump connects with your person. He connects with the American people.
Right, he does.
I mean, look at the stadiums he fills in.
No, they
don't want to show you that, you know?
No, you're right.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, Angelo, I tell you what, my friend, we got to run. But thank you so very much. If you you want to make this an every Monday experience, it's great. But we'll continue to be in touch with you, and thank you for calling in.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, my friend. There he goes, Angelo Ceresi. All right. I want to do one quick story because we promised we would do it, and then we'll take our break. And that is this thing about the people in California, just over half of California's registered voters have considered leaving the state. And the reason? Soaring housing costs, one of the most common reasons, but there are others as well. Young voters, especially likely to mention unaffordable housing as a reason for leaving. And by the way, this is a UC Berkeley Institute of Government poll conducted for the LA Times. But a different group, conservatives, also frequently said they want to leave, but for a different reason. They feel alienated from the state's political culture, and it's really driving them nuts. But that's very interesting. If half of your voters want to leave the state, and you know what? If you're a voter, you're typically probably doing fairly well if you are registered as a particular voter one way or the other. You don't want to have those people leaving. You need their money to keep going. All right, let's take our final break, a quick one. When we come back, the top 10 countries with the most powerful nuclear weapons.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? Tune in to the Ameritech Connection every Thursday at 5 p.m. on TAN Talk Radio Network. That's 1340 AM and 106.1 FM. Right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike. We cover it all when it comes to deed-restricted communities. We have the answers to all of your questions and more on the Ameritech Connection every Thursday at 5 p.m. on TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM.
Let's go bowling!
Let's go bowling, heard on the Tan Talk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars, old and new. Let's go bowling show, gobowlingshow.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final portion of Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. Thank you so very much for being with us. Before we get to our top 10, I want to ask Big Ed, our sports guru and buddy of mine here, about two things. Number one is our wonderful Tampa Bay Rays, who have made the playoffs, Ed. They're going to be playing, and you know, they played a 162-game schedule.
Yep.
They get one game. Yeah, one game, and if they lose, they're out.
I'll tell you, I hadn't watched so much baseball in my life as I did in the last 4 days, because after the Rays won and the Indians lost again, that I watched the A's, because then the A's lost, but you know, it still worked out. There was a possibility that the game could have been at the drop. But I'll tell you, what a great celebration was in the locker room. I couldn't get enough of it. I was surprised that somebody over at Fox Sports forgot to hit the dump button a few times in the locker room. But you know,
a few words are going to be said when you're excited.
Yeah, I know. Hey, did you know something we covered on Friday came true?
What was that?
Listen to this. This is from Friday.
Okay. My Cubs got eliminated. They've lost 8 straight.
You think Joe Maddon's gone?
I'm wondering about Joe. I would say he better start.
Didn't they just win the series?
Picking up next year at the beginning of the year.
Didn't they just win the World Series like 2 years ago?
They beat Cleveland in the World Series, but it was about 3 years ago.
And Joe's gone.
You're right.
Mutual parting of
ways. I was somewhat surprised. I mean, I thought they embraced Joe Maddon, you know, with open arms. But that's how cruel the business is. If you're 2 years and you don't come through after, you know, doing as well as you did, they figure you've lost it.
I tell you, if this would have happened 2 years ago, people in Tampa would have been like, getting back. But now with Kevin Cash, what he's
doing. Kevin Cash has done wonderfully. Now, Kevin Cash is the manager of the Rays, right?
Wow. Just very entertaining to watch.
So if the Rays manage to win and they're playing in Oakland Wednesday night, I think it's at 8 o'clock. They're playing the A's. If they win, they come. Then who do they play? Houston.
I think they play Houston.
Houston's got the best.
Is it the Yankees or? Is it the
I
Yankees
think Houston's
or?
Got a. Well, they play the team with the best record, right?
Right.
Because they're the wild card winner.
Right.
I think it's Houston, but I don't know.
I think so.
But it's going to be tough too.
Yeah, and then the other thing that happened yesterday is the Bucks won out in L.A. And I tell you, Paul, not only did they win, but they scored 55 points.
Unbelievable.
I wouldn't have been any more surprised if I woke up this morning with my head sewn to the carpet.
Now, I'm trying to visualize that. But, you know, I told my friend, I said, I think, so help me, before the guys, I think the Bucks have a chance in this game. Everybody's picking them to get blown away, and I said, I don't think so. I think the Bucks have a shot. I don't think they're as bad as people think.
Do you know? I didn't even plan on watching the game. I was driving somewhere, and I tuned in the radio. And it was 21-0, and I pulled over to a sports bar. I had to go watch.
Yeah. Very, very surprised. There was like how many points? Something like 90 points were scored in that game.
It was 55-40.
So that's
95 points.
Only Toledo.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right. We better get to our top 10 while we still have some time. And these are the top 10 countries with the most powerful nuclear weapons. Ed, I'm going to ask you to guess the second and the first. You'll see why a little later. But this is based on the Federation of American Scientists. Sounds like they must know what they're talking about. So without further ado, the top 10 countries with the most powerful nuclear weapons. Number 10, Iran, which scares me.
Right.
But they've been a new addition to the top 10 list. And here we were thinking that they were cutting back on their... No, I don't
think so. They lied their way all the way in.
Exactly. All right, number 9. Little Rocket Man and his country, North Korea. Having less than 10 nuclear missiles, North Korea is on the 9th as most powerful. They've tested the nuclear ability in 2006 and became one of the most powerful nuclear countries in the world. All right, number 8, Israel. Yes, Israel. Well, they're surrounded by people that don't like them. So you can kind of understand. Israel has a total of 80 nuclear missiles. 80. Wow, that's enough. Number 7. India. India has 100 nuclear missiles. And they got a neighbor next door, you know, that scares them a little bit. Number 6. the neighbor is Pakistan, which is number six.
Mm-hmm.
Pakistan is ranked sixth in the list. It has a total of 120 nuclear missiles. Wow. Number five. I never think of this country with nuclear missiles, but it's the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom, ranked fifth. I guess they're still worried about some of the things going on in Europe. All right, number four. China. Known as the emerging superpower, they have 250 nuclear weapons.
I thought China was one.
Well, now you don't have to worry. You're going to have to find somebody else.
That's my guess.
Did you know that they have just come up with a missile? I will talk about it Wednesday. That can hit the United States in 30 minutes, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of scary, isn't it? All right. Number three. France. Indeed, France. 300 nuclear weapons. France. All right, my friend. I have left the last two just to see, because I think you will... Okay. Know which is which, or not which is which. You will know these, you will guess these two countries, but I want to see if you can guess which is number one, okay. Really. So, who do you think is number two with the most nuclear weapons?
I'll say the U.S.
Okay, roll the drum. You are right.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's the United States. With a total of 7,000 plus nuclear weapons, between 7,200 and 7,700. That would be enough to pretty much... debilitate the planet, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you could reach every corner of the planet with probably an eighth of that.
That's
right?
Correct. You know? That is correct. All right, my friend, who do you think is the number one country with the most powerful nuclear weapon?
It can only be Russia.
You are right. At the top, Russia, with approximately 8,500 nuclear missiles. What is that stupid country doing with 8,500 nuclear weapons? It is famous for the best quality weapons and the largest country with respect to the area. There is no doubt in the quantity and quality of weapons. Russia is the largest producer of the weapons, which made the country number one superpower of the world. I used to think that the United States had as many weapons, but apparently... that is not the case. So I guess you do have to handle that nut Putin with kid gloves.
I mean, what would be left of the planet if we used our 7,000 and they used their 8,000?
I
mean, come on.
I know.
You know some surprise is not in there, Germany.
Well, here's why. You know that we basically defrocked Germany of its military after World War II.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
We just wouldn't allow, because remember... They were at the middle of World War I and World War II, and we decided, you know what, that's enough. You guys just tend to be warlike, and we don't need that. So they defrocked them, and they've never quite been able to kind of get back.
Kind of like Japan, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
It's the same deal with Japan. It's the same deal. And even though we're now, what, about 75 years removed from World War II?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, 75 years ago, unbelievable.
Yeah.
But we're still kind of watching those two countries.
Still keep an eye on them.
Keeping a little eye on them. All right, my friends. Thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back Wednesday. Please remember, freedom works.
Woman, walking down the street, pretty woman. The kind I like to meet, pretty woman.